Okay. I think this time it will work. Will it?
Hi, everyone. So today, guys, I went with my friends and we were planning to go for a flight. So
crazy guy.
For flight. This is the video where he...
increase the head speed a little bit on my
about 3,400.
Play the head speed part. Let it get up to 4 p.m.
Really?
Yeah, well, it sounds terrifying.
Let's find it. Let's find
it. I hope you guys enjoy with this flight.
All right, here we go. Okay. It's pulling up.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 800.
No, not bad.
1,400.
Okay, safe. This is good right here.
2,200.
Ah, one more click.
Hello.
What's up?
Welcome to another episode, number 42.
42.
Yes, this one is called Bring on the Positivity.
Heck yeah, dude.
It's been negative lately, hasn't it?
I know, we're gonna sharpen
with all
it up.
Facebook stuff.
Yeah, we're gonna ignore all that and just talk about the positive aspects of the radio-controlled helicopter community and hobby. What do you
another
think?
Kind of useless mentorish episode.
It's fine. People eat these up and people
love them. Yeah, yeah, I think
people,
so. I don't know why.
People
yeah.
enjoy this more than the technical stuff. We are going to get back to technical. I have a few topics written down, but we're just going to take it easy today and just kind of go down memory lane a little bit.
But we have to, for sure, without a doubt, we have to bring in a guest soon, right? Mm-hmm. Or a guest, or we have to do like something technical. I like the idea of a guest. There's a few guests I have in mind.
Me too. I have some people I want to bring on, so I'm going to start reaching out to them.
Nice. So before we even talk about what we've been up to, kind of excited. I just read that announcement about the IRCHA grand prize.
What is that all about?
That's the grand prize for IRCHA.
Wow. What is it? What is it? Is it cool? Is it lame?
It's awesome. It's a Goblin Kraken
mm-hmm.
with BK servos, mm-hmm. brushless,
mm-hmm.
with X-Nova X-Track motor. Mm-hmm. The motor alone is like freaking $520.
Mm-hmm.
With Hobby Wing 200 amp ESC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all you got to do is put a flight controller, a set of batteries, and you're good to go.
Yeah. Comes with main blades and tail blades.
Yeah.
Sweet setup.
So donated by us, BK yep. Hobbies and SAB USA.
Yep.
We're really investing into IRCHA this year. I know I've bitched about IRCHA in the past in terms of, you know, how the attendance has gone down and like how it's not worth from a business perspective to invest.
Sure.
But we're never going to get our money's worth in terms of like all the money that we're spending to go there. I don't mean this in a negative way. This is all about being
positive.
It's just
positive. Pure factual, yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. That's besides the point. The way in which we can get something out of it is to try to grow the hobby back, right?
Right.
Try to keep the event afloat, try to keep, you know what I mean, the competition alive between all the different vendors.
Yeah.
I think the more we do, the more entices others to do as well, and it just kind of drives. Yeah. It's a driving force in the hobby, right?
And by sponsoring it, we have access to that Thursday Goblin Day that we would not normally have had access to. So we can better...
You haven't... Nobody knows what that is. We've never said anything.
Yeah, we did.
No.
Yeah, last week we did. Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, positive.
Oh, okay.
So, for those of you, in case I am drawing a blank, we didn't mention it. Thursday. Sometime on Thursday.
I don't think we did. I think you're dreaming it, but I don't know.
Someone will have to correct us. But Thursday of IRCHA at some time, probably sometime in the afternoon, we're going to have...
Most of the afternoon.
A little Goblin session at Center Stage IRCHA. We're going to have some tents.
It won't be demos.
No, it's not demos. It's just come hang out. If you have a Goblin, come ask us questions. We're probably going to buddy box a Kraken. Ask us any question you want. You can hang out with the team guys. I'll be flying. Bert will be flying. So
yeah, we'll all be flying, but it won't be a demo. It'll be more like come and hang out. If you have questions, like Kyle said, we'll help you out.
Yeah.
If you've never tried a Kraken, we might have a body box set up and let you try one, stuff like that.
It's kind of like happy hour, but no liquor. So
Yeah.
It'll be fun. So like that's one of the perks of sponsoring IRCHA. We have access to that.
Correct.
So
correct.
And I'm looking forward to that. That'll be cool.
We're not going to have anything to sell. We're not selling anything.
Nope.
We're going to let our friends from Heli Direct, as well as Only Fine Helis, sell the product for us. So we don't have to worry about that. We can just focus on helping you guys and spending time with our customers and answering questions and maybe body boxing, maybe flying, maybe, I don't know, whatever it takes.
Hang out if you guys need help. If you have something you need straightened out, you know, we have a lot of good resources there. So
if you can, make the trip to Urcha, not just to see us. We'd love to see you, of course, but to see all the other vendors, to support the event in itself. And you will have absolutely a great time hanging with the other pilots and everybody else. No question. No doubt.
There's so much to see. If you've never been to Urcha, you absolutely have got to make it one of these years. It is just an absolute beast of its own, of an event. You know, there's a lot of good events out there, like the Virginia event and smaller events like that. But Urcha is its own animal, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Urcha is like a unique animal, like you said. It has to be. I've always said it, man. Like, a lot of people think that I have some kind of hate for Urcha. I don't. I've always said that if you've never been to Urcha, you have got to go, because it's such a unique event.
Right. And we don't hate Urcha. We just necessarily don't agree with everything they do.
We don't agree with some of the format of the event, the way that the event has gone down, like considering the smaller crowd and stuff like that. But I mean, you know, everybody has disagreements. Who cares? At the end of the day, Urcha is Urcha, and would like for it to continue to exist. I think it's the longest running event.
Yeah, it's standing, been going on forever.
In the United States, yeah.
What, 20 or 20 or 30 years or something?
I have to look up the date.
My dad was going to it back when it was in Ohio, I want to say in the 90s, so it's been around.
Yeah, and it started in Pennsylvania, didn't it?
Pennsylvania, it was the first Urcha. Tim DePerry told us when we brought the Urcha board on. I just can't remember how long. But
so if you're interested in the history, look up for our Urcha episode.
Yeah, we had like three members on the board come on and talk to us about this year's Urcha. So, cool stuff.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, tell us your story. What happened, dude?
Nothing.
Some bad shit.
No. Yeah. It's all good. No. Okay. So, as we were
recording. Tell me how your luck has been recently.
So, as we were recording, I even mentioned it on the podcast. Oh, I just got a message. My Kraken was delivered. Ah, sweet. My Kraken, my second Goblin Kraken.
This is a week. This is, mind you, this is exactly a week ago.
Exactly a week ago. Wednesday, as we were recording the podcast.
It's like 4 o'clock or something.
Yep, yeah. I got the notification. Mr. Stacy, your package has been delivered. My Goblin Kraken, the second one, was dropped off at the shop. I was very excited to have a backup model, and I rushed home after the podcast, after work was done, made myself some dinner, and sat down to do the build on the second batch Kraken. It's going well. If you follow our Instagram, BK Official, you saw I did a lot of story posts, a lot of just posts in general about the build, some tips and tricks, stuff like that. Very excited to build it. And then Thursday morning, I did the test flight. It was all beautiful. Everything was going well. Friday, I flew it a little bit more. Everything is perfect. Saturday morning, I wake up. John and Justin Cook text me, hey, we're on the way to the field. I'm like, sweet, we're gonna go fly. I get out to the field, I fly my other one a few times. I'm like, we'll fly the new one. Yeah, why not? Break it a little more. Go out to fly it, and man, did I destroy that thing.
Now, you want to share why?
Nope, I don't want to share why. I don't want to throw a single person.
You don't
want to
be that
anything.
Guy. You don't want to be that guy.
Nope. I will not neither confirm or deny if it was pilot error.
You're not going to go on to hang out and warn people that this could happen to them? That would be rude.
Nope. It would either be, I'm not going to confirm or deny if it was pilot, mechanical, or electronic failure. I can tell you that I'm very upset about the whole situation, but it has since been rectified. It's just a bummer. But my brand new Kraken was turned to dust very, very aggressively.
Within 10 flights.
The only thing salvageable was the landing gear and maybe a link or two.
That is sad.
Yeah, absolutely destroyed it. But what are you going to do? Part of the game.
You sure you don't want to let everybody know?
Positive.
So, just to make sure that they're okay in the future.
Yep, don't want to throw anyone under the bus. It's not worth it.
It's just bad luck, dude.
It's really bad luck. Really bad timing. Yeah. Really bad machine to have it happen to. But
it is. It's all good.
Yeah.
And the main problem is like really that, you know, and it's usually like the stuff that fails. When you have a failure, what you least expect to fail is what is going to fail.
Of course.
That's usually the case.
Of course. But
It is what it is. Failures happen.
Yeah, it's all good. I'm over it. I have a new kit on its way, so.
So how bad was the damage?
Ah, man. It was good.
So.
There was not a lot left. Electronics were toast. The boom broke in like four different places. Like it hit with some energy.
Motor survived?
Motor scratched up, but I think it'll work.
Scratched.
Scratched.
I can get a new bell.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, motor's fine. Yeah. ESC is toast. ESC took a brunt because it went under power and squished all the wires, ripped the wires out of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not due to Goblin design, the Kraken design, just due to how it hit. No matter what machine it was on, it would have damaged it. But yeah.
Oh, the airframe like nose in, or how did it hit?
It was more or less a tail slide straight into the ground.
So why would that mess up the wires on the ESC, though?
Because then it hit sideways and it hit at 2,400 RPM.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so it ripped the wires out. All the airframe is destroyed. The head's mangled up. I showed you the tail today. It's pretty twisted.
I have never seen a boom broken in half like that. I mean, booms are designed to eject, but please, like, if it's going like a long dart.
Yeah, that was one of the three pieces of the boom. So.
Yeah. Oh, well. Not good.
It was a good one. It was good to watch, but it is
so worse. We learned something, ladies and gentlemen. For all of you that want to know how the Goblin crashes, the Kraken, if you crash at 2,500 RPM and never hit throttle hold, yes, it does not crash very well.
Right.
So
right.
Hit that throttle hold. I think I can think of two or three other, not brands, but models, not necessarily SAB, that would turn into rice.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was not a very good test because that wasn't your average crash, to say the least. But hey.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You know, they make new kits almost every day, so it's fine. Yeah. It's all good.
Anyway, I had a wall come down into my... No, never mind. Let's just keep going.
A what?
A wall. Anyway, we can't disclose that one. Okay, let's move on. So other than the gum... And mine is fine. It was fixed. Only canopy scratches. But anyway.
Weird, huh? Weird.
Yeah. So what else you got? What else have you been up to? You've just been building and crashing.
Yeah, building, crashing, wrenching, and setup.
Is your new one good to go?
Kind of. It's getting there.
Missing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just waiting on some stuff to arrive. But
more issues?
No, issues. No. Just waiting for things to arrive. It's all good.
Cool.
Yeah, not in any rush. There's no big competition in like 5 weeks or anything. It's all good.
What else? What else is new? What else?
No, just been that. Wrenching, working. Just the daily grind at the BK Hobbies Empire. Just cranking stuff out. Getting ready for batch 2 Krakens to arrive. We did some Memorial Day stuff that got back ordered, so just cranking those out. And
yeah, we'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Yep. We got a nice shipment of servos in. Kind of. Partial shipment in. So
no Kyle Stacey servos. Not yet.
It's the next shipment.
But 7002s. We have a lot of servos in stock right now, in fact.
Yep.
And we have switchblades in stock.
Finally.
We'll talk about that later, too. But anyway.
We'll get to that.
You?
What's up with you? Give us a rundown on your
life. Missed out your crash because I didn't go to the field.
I know.
But I did fly my nitro Sunday evening in the backyard.
I'm sure of it.
I got my two flights Sunday.
Yeah, it's 4 days later and I can still see the nitro haze in the backyard.
I know, it's very, very, very hot. Yeah. It's been very, very hot. And we haven't even had much rain.
Mm-hmm.
So
weird, right?
I have really not been doing a whole lot other than work. Work, work, work.
Yeah.
I went for, perhaps knock on wood, my last ride of the season, Saturday night. We went out to dinner. That's it. Sunday, we had the little incident with our dog.
Yeah.
Bad.
Poor Charlie.
Yeah, I was pressure washing. Was pressure washing our cars, and he decided to jump right in front of the water stream.
Yeah. No warning whatsoever.
No warning. He wasn't expected. He was, came out of nowhere. So, yeah. And it hit him in the eye. So, out of all places.
I know, right?
But thank God, I think he's going to make his recovery. It's just a pain in the butt to go through the whole process, but he's doing okay. So, a lot of little stupid things like that. Like just
what a weird weekend, right?
Yeah, what a weird, terribly weird and not a good weekend, I would say.
Yeah.
But to think positive, this coming weekend will be better, right?
I'm hoping. Yeah. Hopefully now, no Krakens crash and no dogs get hurt.
Yeah, this is true. Mm. But But yeah, other than that, nothing much. Just, you know, the usual stuff. Yeah. This is kind of an uneventful time of the year. I wish we would have made it to the Cincinnati event. We sent a donation out that way. I think those guys had a really good time at the event.
It looked like
we
fun.
It would have been difficult for us logistically to get out of here this past weekend. But the main thing is just leaving the shot, like, alone for 2 or 3 days, right? It's very difficult to do.
Right.
So, but I hope those guys, it looks like those guys had a good time. They had a good event, good turnout.
Yeah.
And then this week is Utah, which we thought about going, but last minute again, once again, I don't think it's going to happen. We're getting ready to receive Kraken parts, and we receive blades, and there's just a lot going on in the shop. Yeah, and needless to say, you don't really have... Your equipment is not up to par right now.
Flyable model, yeah. It's a shame. It's a shame. Would have been fun to go to Cincinnati, but like you said, stepping away from the shop. We do have a couple of people, like Lance and Sean, that help out from a distance. They don't... they're not local to us, so they can't help with day-to-day stuff, but... Yeah.
And Joe. Joe's not local.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah. But, oh well, it is what it is.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so you want to get on to the, move on to the real topic at hand here?
Let's do it. You know, like Bert said, we've had some negative stuff. We talked about some drama last week, and I think it's just time to ignore all that drama, all the negativity, and just bring in some positivity and just share with you guys some of our best flights, best memories, best crashes, just best times in the hobby.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. That'd
just
be cool.
Reflect.
Like, bring on some memories, man. Memories.
Let's do it.
And your dad made a post on Facebook last night with us. And if I could remember, I think that was in 2009.
I think it was, yeah.
That had to be Orlando helicopter blowout 2009.
Yep.
And we were all flying for Heli Wholesaler. I was still, I think, with Align at that point.
You were
half and half.
You were with Heli Wholesaler and Align.
Yeah. And, but I wasn't flying miniature like you guys were. I wasn't. I was flying Align only because it was some kind of deal I had to work out for that. But, yeah, that was great times back then.
Yeah, man.
In that picture, there's me and you and Jeff Green, who used to run the wholesale division of the big consortium of companies or whatever that were comprised of Heli Wholesaler, Miniature Aircraft USA.
It was what, Flyco?
Flyco, I think it was Flyco called the whole, the whole group of companies. So it was Jeff Green, and I remember seeing the picture, obviously your dad. Who else is in the picture? Carrie Shirley.
Beast.
I haven't seen that guy in forever.
Pete Campbell was there, yep.
And then me and you and your dad. So
Right. Good times back in the day with the miniature aircraft Fury 55. Good old days, man.
Yeah.
That was at the old field. That was at, what's it called?
That was at the old field. That was the RCACF,
yes,
Radio RCACF. Control Association, Central Florida. Yeah, that's where we did the first two or three years of the blowout. I think it could have been first three.
Right.
So I'm not totally 100%, but yeah, good time. So anyway, so let's start with the best crash. Not as positive. How about
what do you want to do?
Let's start with like best flights. Best flights.
Best flights, huh?
Stacy, what's your top three? Your three best or three better flights?
Well, I have not had many, so this is easy to think of a few.
Shut the hell up! I'm gonna kill you.
We're gonna call it favorite flights. For me, my favorite flight. This is a tie. The IRCHA 1 competition 2014. As well as 2015. IRCHA 2014, the one competition, for those who don't know what that is, that was a 7-minute routine. You take 7 minutes, you fill it up the best you can, making the most exciting and, you know, coolest flight you can do, which really, really opened up the creative side of every pilot. So I had a fun time with the 3D part of the routine because I used, I think it was 2 or 3 helis. I could spend as much time on SMAC if I wanted to, or technical flying, or whatever I want to do. I was not constrained to 3 minutes. So I had some fun with just the actual 3D flight side of it. And then at the end, I did a little bit of a circus trick. I had the heli fall from a parachute. I went up, I did an inverted auto, deployed a parachute. The heli was falling inverted from a parachute. I stopped the blades, fell for a while, and then with a mechanism that my dad made.
Kind of like backwards. You stop the blades. You stopped the...
The blades are spinning, and then I deployed it so that it would stay level.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, the blades were spinning, coming down in an invert auto, deploy the parachute, wait for the parachute to come out, go... I guess it would have been... I slowly fed in negative to stop the blades so it wouldn't shoot up. Stop the blades, let it fall for a while, and then my dad designed a mechanism with a BK servo even, where it would release the parachute, the heli would disconnect from the parachute, start the blades, and keep flying. It was so cool. It was not very repeatable. I balled up so many helis practicing it.
You were like... You were so... It, I guess you could say lucky that it worked when it had to work.
Absolutely, because I destroyed probably a good 5 to 6 machines testing it.
Yeah.
Either the parachute wouldn't come out or would pop out and go right in the blades and destroy it immediately.
So if you guys haven't seen this, I think... Is there a video available?
Yeah, if you just type in Urcha 1 competition 2014, we'll put some links when we post it to Facebook.
Yeah, we'll put some links, but that was... I actually liked... the parachute trick better than the box, which was the following year.
Me too.
I think the parachute trick was completely unexpected.
Yeah.
The box was cool, but it was like, okay.
You know something was going to happen.
Yeah.
The parachute, correct. No one saw.
Completely unexpected. Yeah.
And the parachute trick was a lot cheaper for me.
Cheaper. And Bobby and I tried the stupid parachute thing like years back. You remember that?
Yes, I remember. Urcha, what was that? 2010, I think you guys, in a night fly.
I think it was even before then. But we were doing the night fly together, and we had parachutes. And we've actually tested these things at home, and they worked. They worked. So, but as opposed to what you did, we were going to, this was going to be the final part of the flight. So we flew a synchro flight, and then we, at the end of the flight, we went up to do the auto. And then the goal was to slow down the blaze or stop the blaze, deploy the parachute, and literally let the helicopter land on the ground, like with the parachute, like as a it's diving.
Right.
And mine, I was doing a funnel, and mine deployed in the middle of the flight, deployed.
Yeah.
Needless to say, got tangled up in the blaze, big explosion, helicopter's destroyed. Yeah. And then Bobby's
didn't really work.
I think he underestimated the wind. There was a wind pushing away from us, so it was getting farther and farther.
Well, what happened is he deployed the parachute too early, and it got wrapped in the blades.
Got wrapped in blades,
but partially, because it kind of slowed it down.
It slowed it down. It came down on the chute. It just didn't come down the front and center and slow and pretty. Yeah. But so I think Bobby was itching to make this work either with somebody else. No offense to you, but
of course.
It was kind of like, here's the idea. We tried this and it didn't work, but now things are easier. Yeah. Different helis. Back then it was Flybar too.
Yeah.
So it was easier to get shit tangled up. It was not as simple as today, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Bobby gave me the idea. I guess Bobby and Bert gave me the idea to use it.
No, me. It was all on him, but...
Well, it came from that event.
It came from that event, yeah.
So I talked about it with my dad a few months before Urcha, and he made this contraption.
And you're the first and only probably ever be person that has successfully done this in a public setting where it actually works.
Yes.
And it looks freaking impressive. And video doesn't do it justice because it looks like a speck, right?
But
in the air.
What's funny is after that worked, 2 years later in 2016, SAB was like, hey, that worked really well. We have 3 events back-to-back over in Europe. We want you to bring the parachute and do it there. And I was like, whatever you want to do, boss, whatever you want to say. So we brought it to Helifest in the UK, tried it twice, boom, destroyed both machines. It wrapped in the blades, destroyed machines twice. Tried it out back when no one was watching. Ah, perfect. The parachute comes out just fine, deploy, no problem. Mm-hmm. No problem. No one's watching. And then a week later at Ugo's event, wrapped in the blades, destroyed it.
Well, the problem is that it's impossible to judge. It's extremely difficult to judge how quickly the helicopter is descending, and I feel like you have to have the right speed.
Otherwise,
if you're descending too slow, it doesn't open up, it doesn't push it out.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah,
then it can get tangled up. If you're going too fast, doesn't work well either. Right,
it doesn't open properly. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh well.
Anyway,
it worked when it needed to. So,
second flight.
Your turn. You go.
My turn?
Yeah. We'll bounce back and forth.
One of my better flights. I mean, they have no comparison to yours. Please.
Whatever.
Please.
Whatever.
You're out of your mind.
Whatever.
You're out of your mind.
Whatever.
I don't know. I don't really have a
talk about Alpine Heli Smackdown in Switzerland. This part, this part of your flight, besides that Discovery Channel thing, that has the most views, I would say.
That's the one. That's the same flight from that.
No, but like the, I mean, the episode of Crazy Acts of Science or whatever it was called.
Huh?
This flight was in that video, yeah. But the video itself is probably the most viewed one.
So Alpine Heli Smackdown, that's in Lodrino, Switzerland. That was a pretty nice event. It was run by Lucas Riva's father. Mm-hmm. And for the people that don't know Lucas Riva, he was a pretty well accomplished pilot.
He was amazing.
Back in our big Aligned days. Amazing. And yeah, that was 2011. That's one of the years when I was heavily involved with Smack Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I brought the cameras there and everything. And I did a video with Tarek Al-Sadi, which is available on YouTube if you guys want to watch it. It's free. If you look up the Smack Talk RC YouTube user, you can find Tarek Al-Sadi.
Yeah.
And that is filmed that same year. That mm-hmm. is old tape that same year.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was flying a T-Rex 700, even though I was not with a lion at that point anymore. But I still enjoy flying T-Rexes.
Yeah.
And this is during the period of time when I left a lion, or a lion left me, to be exact. And I was kind of like, I really had no team. I was working for Ready Heli. I had Heli Wholesaler, and then I was flying for Heli Wholesaler and Align together.
Mm-hmm.
And Align left me, and then I left Heli Wholesaler, and right. I went to work for Ready Heli.
Right.
And during this period, I was still flying my T-Rex,
right?
Because I like flying my T-Rex, especially my Nitro.
Right.
And I remember that year I brought the electric 700 T-Rex to Switzerland because mm-hmm. it was easier to travel with electric.
Of course, yeah.
During this period than Nitro. And yeah, I had a really solid flight. It's very repetitive. Non-technical,
mm-hmm.
But it was very high energy, very low to the ground. Like the entire time is like an inch off the ground.
Yeah,
and this is 2011.
That's going back a ways.
Yeah, so this is 8 years ago. Like, and I feel like looking at that helicopter today, like it does move slower than like stuff these days, no doubt.
Yeah,
but for those days, it was pretty intense. I would say.
Let's date that. That was 2011 with a Spectrum DX8.
Spectrum DX8 with a mini V bar. With the silver line. No.
It was mini, wasn't it?
That thing had a mini V bar.
And that was Edge Blades, Volts batteries, probably.
Edge Blades, Volts batteries, mini V bar.
There's probably a Scorpion motor, probably.
Mini V bar with a DX8 or a DX. Had to be a DX8. Had to be. DX8 was the first one of the DX newer generation series release. So DX8. 2011, man. Those batteries had to be, what, like 15C, 12C? I don't know. I don't know what 11 was. I can't. Well,
the sticker was probably 30, but they were probably more like 10.
Yeah.
And then probably a Scorpion motor. Right?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I don't think there was a mini V-bar. That's a flybar heli. That was a flybarred helicopter.
Absolutely. No.
Yes. No question.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't flying.
No, that was V-bar.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because, yeah, that was near the Ready Heli days with V-bar. Absolutely.
I'm not sure.
I will give you $20 tomorrow because I don't have any money.
I'm
going
to have to look it up.
Look it up. Let's see. I'm pretty sure it was flybarless. I'm pretty sure because you had the Edge with the yellow letters, which was the flybarless blades. And I want to say it was a Scorpion motor, probably some sort of Castle ESC or something.
Okay, so...
Yeah, it had to have been flybarless. Has to be.
Huh? No.
Where do we go?
Hello.
Huh?
You hear that?
Yeah. Flybarless.
Okay, so this thing had a Castle Creation speed controller, okay? It had a Castle... I think a Castle 120 or something like that. Yeah. And it was definitely flybar, dude. Anyway, does it matter?
Nope.
Does it? Now I'm really frustrated because I don't remember, dude. My memory just died. Seriously, my memory is dead.
Why?
I do not remember because I have terrible memory.
You need a factory reboot.
Yeah, I need CPU. A defragmentation.
Yeah.
Defrag. Anyway, that was one of my better flights, considering how old that is, you know, and that era, that time frame, right?
But that just goes to show that when you feel it, you feel it.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's 9 years, 8 years. Let's see again. 11. Mm-hmm. 8 years. So I was 40. I was right at 40. Mm-hmm. Big difference. Big difference, though.
Yeah, makes sense.
But
makes up for it, yeah.
Anyway, your turn. Your next best
flight. The next memorable thing for me would be 3D Cup 2015, the year that I won it. That was, I'd say that year, 2015, is when I was probably just the most connected, most locked in with the model. That was the Kyle Stacey Edition 700 era.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that was the KSE. Yeah, that's I had to do a demo for Spartan with that same thing. That thing flew like a turd.
Very disrespectful. But
the three-blade thing back in those days. Now I think it flies better.
I was just so used to it back then, man.
I know.
I was so locked in, so precise. So I just knew how it all... That was just the year when I just felt it. And I think I had some okay music and freestyle flights. Just I could put it wherever I wanted to. Fly real low, fly real aggressive, and you know, got lucky enough to win it that year.
And I mean, you've practiced for that. I remember you have practice for that. Yeah. So you deserve the win. But yeah, you were on top of your game at that point. Like it's like you said, sometimes you're into it, sometimes you're, and you can't explain why. It's not like you don't want it. It's just sometimes you're just not there, right?
Yeah.
It's weird.
The funny thing about that event is, thankfully, Enrico from SAP does not listen to this podcast, but I went to Italy before that event to just make sure everything was ready, and I didn't have a 9-to-5 or any day job. Like my only source of like job was SAB at the time. So I went there for like a week before the event to practice and get ready. And he's like, "All right, show me your set maneuvers," and just to mess with him and get under his skin, I screwed them all up just to mess with him. So he was all panic when we showed, "You cannot do the set maneuvers, Kyle. You cannot do."
But is there any particular flight out of that trip, that 3D Cup, that stands out to you?
Probably the final freestyle as the sun was going down. I think that's the flight where, like, remember the iPad stopped working and you and I had to stand on the runway for like 20 minutes?
As they
rebooted the
iPads. Oh, yeah, and you had like... And it was like, it was crazy because it was like building all this. Like if it would have been me, I would have just freaking crashed or ruined everything. Because I hate the expectation. Like when it's my turn and it's okay, bird camera on deck. And then the person before me lands and I just walk out there. I want to take off and get it over with.
Me too.
But if I just sit there and I start screwing with my brain about the flight and like waiting and looking around and looking at the people, like that makes it harder, doesn't it?
It was a nightmare. I was just sitting there like, "Oh, should I change the takeoff? Should I change this? Should I change that? Is it 3 minutes? Is it 3.5?" I know. It was the worst. But
you did great. It was good. Good stuff.
Good times. You?
One of my other better flights that I can remember. I think I have. I'm just trying to not date things that far back.
Okay.
Because I can remember flights in 2007 and 8. Or 9 that were better than any of these, but man, back in the day, stuff was different, slower, more lethargic, not quite the same. But another one I can think of that is in the Flybar list days was Goblin Day, and that's the second year of Goblin Day, because Goblin Day happened twice. They did it twice.
Right.
1 year was both times were in like different parts of Germany, but the 1 year that I can remember the best is I believe it was 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I would tend to think it's 14, and it wasn't like, again, it wasn't like a very technical, very spectacular flight by any means. But it was a solid flight because it was just like high energy, like low, very high head speed, and like I pretty much nailed everything I wanted to nail.
Right.
So I just did some basic pyro flips, like most people would say. They were not chaos, they were not nothing fancy, but they were like inches off the ground consistently. I did a McDougal, and it was like I pulled out like an inch and a half off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I did like everything I did was like it was presented well, right?
Yeah, so it's
I
where was, you wanted it and everything.
Yeah. Gabuti, Sebastiano Gabuti was standing next to me, was spotting for me, and I could just see him with my peripheral vision like jumping back and jumping back. But it was exciting. It was cool. And then Nick Johnson, right? Because the person on the mic can take you up or take you up or down, right? Bring you up or take you down, right?
Right.
And Nick is really good at like, yeah, this is Burke Hammer, the one and only, everybody. And like, it just kind of gets you, gets the adrenaline going,
gets
right?
You fired up. Yeah. I remember watching, because I've never went to a Goblin, I've never attended a Goblin Day event. So I remember watching that video and being like, whoa, this thing is spinning like 2400, which at the time was pretty uncommon.
I was like 2450 or something. Yeah, it was with 14S. 14S.
Uncommon at the time because no one had run that high RPM. That thing was just ripping, man. Yeah. Ripping.
And like, I was really tired because I had really not slept. And I've always, like, I don't know anymore because I don't feel that way these days. But back in the day, I the more tired I was, the better I flew.
Me too, yeah.
I don't know why. It's like, if I was really drained and tired and little sleep, the better I flew. I think it's just because naturally you feel tired. Mm-hmm. So you still can react. You still can perform. But you don't... You're more laid back, perhaps. You're not as nervous. You're not as jumpy. You're not stressed. Yeah.
Could be.
So that was a good flight.
Good times.
All right, one more for you. One more.
Yeah, let's see here. The last one that I can think of... was we're going way back to 2012. This is the E-Fest, the Electric Festival.
That's not that
far
back. That's newer than my Align.
Well, 7 years, man. 7 years. Yeah. Crazy times. But E-Fest, it was an indoor event for foamies and small helicopters. I went there a bunch of times. Bert went there a few times. It was a good time. It was just, like I said, an indoor event.
The background killed me there.
It was inside of an armory where like track and field would take place.
But everything was very colorful. There was a lot of like there were the background. The background was full of colors. Like
you couldn't,
whatever.
Yeah, you couldn't see your thing at all. You couldn't see your heli at all. So what I did that year is with the help of Bobby Watts, of course, I put some lights on my T-Rex 450 with the Chimp Systems Delcon. Remember the Delcon?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would link it to your music. And he helped me. It was kind of last minute. I had the lights on the heli before I showed up, but I had no routine in mind. And we sat down. I think it was just Friday night. We just banged out some music. So I had some funny kind of circus trick stuff. I did a blade stop indoors because I think the ceiling was like, what was it, like 100 feet, 150 feet. So I climbed up there and did a wall, hit throttle hold, and stopped the blades. And then upon landing, I decided to land inverted that flight for whatever reason. And I hit hold, landed inverted, and boom, the blades hit just right. And it popped up and landed on the skids after all. It was crazy.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Crazy, but good times. That was a good event. Got real lucky, and it was fun. It was cool.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Yeah.
One more flight that I can think of was Urcha 2013. Mm-hmm. I believe it was 13. I believe. Probably. Big D was still alive. And we were just doing a power hour, center stage. You were standing next to me, you were calling for me. Mm-hmm. And again, the flight wasn't like that spectacular, but it was like high energy. And the reason why that I think of this flight is because, okay, again, Big D is on the microphone. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace, Big D. And, you know, he used to get you pumped up, right, because of his energy and the way he spoke on the mic. And but the thing that makes me think about this flight more than any other flight is also I hit the ground pretty hard.
Yeah.
And this wasn't with the tail. This was with the head.
Bounced
and
off the head.
That thing came up pirouetting, and like within a second I regained control and it just felt good to me, and then so I kept flying it. I kept it a little farther away, but I kept flying.
Yeah.
And I did at least, I don't know, maybe another minute, half a minute of flying or whatever, minute and a half, until I brought it in and did my auto and landed. So that flight, like, I'll put the link on the notes too. I think I shared it on my Facebook not very long ago. But that was man, that was awesome. That was just one of those times when you just feel good about flying. You enjoy it. People are enjoying it, and people are just cheering and yelling, and you just don't give a crap if you're going to crash or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just fun. Just a lot of fun.
Urge. Yeah. I remember Urge Demos was just like, not a crash session, but you pushed yourself so hard that if it went in, so be it. But Big D on the microphone and everyone screaming. It was good times.
Yeah.
Speaking of crashes, should we go over best crashes?
Yeah, so there's three of the best flights that we can remember of each. I'm sure you guys would disagree, and you might think of a better flight if you followed us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of like what we can remember and consider some of their better flights.
Right.
Now, crashes.
The first one that I can think of is Bert, Susie, and I went to New Zealand New Zealand in 2015. Man, is that a long, that's a long trip to get there. But all three of us made the trip. I went out there with my 700 College Station edition, as per usual. And this is will forever haunt me, because that was the best flying 700 I've ever had. Not today, because I think the Kraken flies better. But that was like the best 700 three-blade setup I could ever have. And off to the left side of the field, there was a single tree.
Just lonely. All by itself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's Saturday. You know, the Sunday the event was not happening. So Saturday, the event's wrapping up. Doing the last flight of the day. I'm like, ah, you know, let's go cut this tree. So I went full speed right to left, and I'm lining myself up with the tree. I'm like, ah, I'm a little high. So I give a little jab at collective, apparently a little bit too much, and I hit that tree at full speed, probably 130 miles an hour, straight into the tree. Absolutely re-kitted the helicopter. Nothing left.
Yeah.
Took out the frames, canopy, head, tail, just absolutely everything.
Very dumb way to crash. Very
stupid, to crash. Stupid. Yeah. I've cut trees 100 times flying.
Well, I cut a tree too. So this might have been 2012, blowout of 12, and the Goblin has been released. Mm-hmm. It's been out on the market for 8 months or whatever, and I'm flying my blue, custom color blue Goblin 700 at the Torches Field during the Orlando helicopter blowout of 2012. Yeah. And I was just doing my good old hurricane, going inverted counterclockwise.
What happened?
Pretty low to the ground. Not super low, but probably about 3 feet off the ground, 4 feet off the ground, like ripping.
Yeah.
Doing like 120 miles an hour, like
full
as
negative,
fast as I
cooking.
Could go.
Yeah.
Full negative, just cooking. And then as my head is turning from right to left, because I'm going counterclockwise, all of a sudden my head kept turning, and there was nothing to follow anymore. Because the freaking helicopter hit a dead tree. It was a dead tree.
Dead tree.
This stupid tree was dead.
Yeah, and you
it had not a single leaf, right?
Yeah.
And it was like rotten. Like it was a rotten dead tree. It wasn't like no leaves from winter, because we're in Florida. We don't see that.
Right.
It was just a rotten dead tree that had no leaves. And my 43-year-old eyesight did not see the damn tree 150 yards away, because I was doing the big ass hurricane, and I remember my head kept going.
And the heli,
and then and there's a video somewhere. I don't know if we'll be able to find it. You can see the debris just flying off of that thing. Yeah, that thing got destroyed.
Oh my god, I remember
blue
that one
custom paint scheme. Yeah. I love that thing.
You have no reason for that, because that's your hometown field.
Yeah, no shit. No, that tree just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it won. Yeah. My next, this is more of a dumb crash, an absolutely mechanic error for me. So I was flying my Thunder Sport. This is actually recent. This is probably late 2017. We're all at the field doing a flight. Beating the crap out of it. Everything's going well. It's a hot day. I go and do an auto. I come down invert auto, left to right. I pop it up, nose up, and I lose all control. The nose comes around, and the thing just nosedives straight into the ground. Apparently, the batteries and the connector lasted the entire three-minute flight, but the auto was just too much for it. I had a cold solder joint. I had just soldered that ESC, and the ESC connector had desoldered. It was completely my fault. Didn't have enough solder. And you know, it lasted the whole flight, but the auto, as soon as I popped nose up, is when it desoldered, flipped around, poof, straight in the ground.
Nice.
Broke it pretty good, because I popped it up real high and just right back in the ground. But
well, you had a similar crash a few weeks ago with the Thunder Sport.
Yeah, that was
fine without canopy. Listen, people, if you have a Goblin, put the canopy on. I'm telling you. Canopy's like a condom. You need it for protection. I'm telling you, everybody that I've seen fly without a freaking canopy, some happens, some midget little crazy god that comes out of nowhere and yanks your battery and shoves it into the disc.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I was flying my Thunder Sport with no canopy. This is not the first time it's happened either, which is the worst part. And I was flying, and I'm doing something, and I can see the front strap break and the stick peg lift. And by that time, there's no time to stop it. I see it lift. The blades, or the battery goes through the blades, and it's a OptiPower stick pack. And the blades hit it just right where it shot the front 6S packs, or the front 6 cells, straight out of it. Yeah. It split the pack right in half.
Yeah.
And shot them like 200 feet away. Stupid. Totally destroyed it. But you live and learn.
Another crash I can think of is also at Orlando helicopter blowout. I can think of a few at OHB.
Yeah.
This one is the year before the previous one. This is the first year that have had a goblin at OHB 2011. Goblin has not been released. Mm-hmm. There's only like one or two prototypes in the whole United States, and they're mine. And I went out there, did a demo. The demo came out great. There's no issues. And then towards the end of the demo, I decided to do a tail slide. And it so happened that Enrico, our beautiful designer at the time, decided to have a hole in the spindle shaft.
Yeah.
Because he thought it would be easier if you stuck a, stick like a wrench, like a bigger wrench shaft or something to hold the spindle so it doesn't turn as you loosen up one side. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to loosen up one side and not both sides.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the hole in the spindle, I don't think was the problem, but the fact that the type of hardening that they did on the material combined with the hole just made it way too brittle.
Right.
So as I'm coming down on this tail slide, and as I shift my collective and give it elevator to stop it and pop it, like next thing I know, the blades come out of the helicopter, the spindle broke in half.
Full speed, gone. Yeah.
Needless to say, the rest of the helicopter kept going down into the ground as hard as it could. Just nothing left.
Nothing.
Thank God that they launched perpendicular to the flight line and not into the flight line, because that could have hurt somebody bad.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
So, yeah, that was a nasty-ass freaking crash right there, too.
Crazy. Yeah,
no doubt.
The last one that I have is XFC 2009 with my miniature aircraft Stratus. My first real major competition that I actually prepared for. My routine had something called a negative tail slide, where it's a tail slide, but instead of giving positive and forward elevator, you give negative and back elevator. And I was coming down, the adrenaline must have been pumping, and I just jammed both sticks back to really hit the beat of the music, and I chopped the boom off, 100%. The machine balled up in the air. I did it probably 100 feet in the air. Machine balled up, ate itself up, and just drove itself straight in the ground. Absolutely destroyed it. Nothing left. Took out the Hattori pipe, messed up the frames, canopy. Of course, the rotor head, the tailbone was all gone. But that was my first major competition, and I crashed my way out of it in the very first flight of the event.
Talk about boom strikes, boom strikes. Heli Masters. I cannot remember the year. It had to be 2012.
Yeah.
And it would be very difficult to find this video because I think SAB did everything in their power to make this video go away.
I cannot find it today. I could not find it.
And I don't blame them because, to SAB's defense, this helicopter was changed as a result of that.
Yes.
So this particular helicopter I'm flying during this, is it Heli Masters then, or is it 3D Masters in 12?
What am I? Hello, 3D Masters. Yeah, 3D Masters.
One of the two. The same location in Venlo, yeah. Netherlands.
3D Masters.
July of 12. Mm-hmm. But I was doing a demo with a Goblin 770, yellow Goblin 770. And the 770, the original prototype that I was flying, mm-hmm. was, I don't know if you had one too, but it was the same as the 700, just longer boom, longer blades.
Yeah.
We didn't know if it would work, but, you know, we tested it 2, 3, 4 times, and so far, so good. We took it there to do a demo. Man, sure enough.
Learned your lesson on that
I one. Came around this maneuver, hurricane, whatever it was, and I just wanted to pop it as hard as I could. Because, you know, when you're practicing or when you're flying in your home field, you don't fly as hard. But when you go and you start pushing, man, the blades chopped the boom in half in the air, and this thing turned into this tiny little ball, looked like a friggin' flying ball or something that was spinning around at high RPM. It was bad. It was the most disgusting boom strike I've ever seen. And then it landed on the tarmac, right on the asphalt, and nothing left.
Nothing. Destroyed it.
And I think SAB pulled some magic to get that video off YouTube. But, you know, again, I can't blame them because that helicopter was never sold. So it would have been unfair for the brand to have that out there, because people wouldn't have known the difference.
Right.
After that, SAB changed the frame set. They changed the main shaft, made it longer. There were a lot of changes being made, so that was not something that happened ever again. But
yeah, rest assured that like a production 770 for the past 5 years has been fine.
Yeah, and to SAB's defense and our defense, like, we should have done more testing to that thing before taking it there for a demo. But everybody was excited. We thought it was a monster flying machine because it was super light. Mm-hmm. With that original frame design and everything.
It was like 10 pounds.
Right? Oh, my God. It was like under 11 for a 770. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy. Craziness.
Anyway. What else you got?
That's all I got for crashes. I don't have anything else. Nothing notable. But We can talk about some of the best memories. What do you think? Best memories?
Wait a minute. You have a crash that you never talked about.
What?
Yeah.
Which one?
It happened at Helly's Over Delaware.
Oh, man. I erased that one from my memory.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's not even in the show notes, but I have to bring that one up because that one was spectacular.
No need.
Yeah, dude. No need. What was left of that thing? I know you bent the motor.
I bent servos.
I never even seen servos get bent.
I broke the frames in every possible place you could break them.
Yeah. So explain, briefly.
Do I have to?
Yeah, briefly.
Okay, so...
Is there a video of that thing?
I have it, and I will not be sharing it. Okay. No, I don't have it. I'm just kidding. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. But what happened was Kyle Dahl decided to put on a little event for the top guys there of who can do the best this or that. And the final round, I did not have a fully charged pack. The final round was an auto. So my idea was, I just take the thing up real high, do a nose down, like a nose slide auto, and overspeed the head, hit hold, and do a backflip. Well, on the way down, my packs were fully dead. I was probably spending like 1,000 RPMs on the way down. I hit hold a little bit too early. And as I flared to do the overspeed and backflip, I did it wrong. I had too much positive pitch, and as soon as the heli started to lean back, whoosh, the blade stopped immediately. And the thing,
but it wasn't like a normal blade stop. It was like an extremely sudden.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
It was a one second from blade speed to completely stopped.
Yeah, immediately stopped.
And then half a second later, boom, on the ground. Like yeah. It just happened that fast.
They stopped at probably 15, 20 feet, and there was just no time to do absolutely anything, yeah. And just drove it into the ground as absolutely hard as you can drive anything into the ground.
Crazy.
Bent the motor, ESC, batteries obviously were done. It was a good one.
Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, well. What are you going
to do? All right, let's take a break here.
Okay.
So, we don't have a coat race this week, but we have something better.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we explained to you guys last week, we kind of feel guilty because as we were doing the Memorial Day sale, we made a comment and said, okay, we're lacking stock on some products because we're having some challenges in getting product from some vendors and stuff like that, which is not a big deal. You know, product comes and goes, but we made a comment that if the product was not in stock, you still could order it and save the money, you know, get the coupon discount. And then we would ship it to you when it arrives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I screwed up. I totally forgot to make a change. And Switch rotor blades were not back orderable, meaning you would not be able to purchase them if they were not in stock.
Right.
So to make it up for all of you guys, this is the coat race for the week. This coming Friday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not tonight. Today's Wednesday. Not tomorrow, Thursday the 6th. But Friday the 7th, starting at 12:01 a.m. 12:01 a.m. Friday morning until 11:59 p.m. Also almost midnight, so all day Friday, you can purchase Switch blades any size that you like for the 10% that you would have gotten on Memorial Day if we would have done our work right. So to do this, just again go to our website and use coupon code MIST Switch. MISSED SWITCH.
Yep.
Missed switch. Yeah.
Whoops. Sorry, guys. Oh, well. Yep.
You still can take advantage. And there's no limit. It's not like there's one or two to use or, you know, you get there too late, you don't get it. No. It's just running all day. You just use the coupon code. As many people, as many customers, as many times as you like. So.
Yep. Stock allowing, that is.
Yeah. Yep. Well, of course.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Nice.
So you want to share some memories before we seal this thing off? So we've talked about the best flights, our best crashes.
Mm-hmm.
What about like some of our better? I wouldn't say best memories. There's too many memories to consider one the best, but better memories, like some of the better times.
I have two that I really want to point out. And the first one I'm going to talk about is preparing for Heli Masters 2014. Back in those days, my dad was working full-time. So I didn't really have a coach per se. So what he would do is he would buy me a plane ticket down here to Orlando, Florida, back when you lived in Apopka. I'd spend the week with Bert and just practice, go over routines, go over set maneuvers, and get ready. And We had quite the situation getting ready for 2014, man. Do you remember that at all? It was bad.
Oh, yeah.
During practice, my ESC, my Castle Creations ESC, lit on fire, destroyed the machine, put it back together with Bert's parts, found out the motor was bad, so he, Bert very generously donated me a Contronic Cosmic Cool to get me back in the air. I think it was, it might have been a Scorpion motor even, to get me back in the air with the Scorpion motor.
Yeah, kept on practicing. Quantum motor or some shit.
Yeah.
Well, because you needed to get in the air.
Yeah, just to fly, because I still had another day or so of practice, and we were just putting in the time. And how it worked is I was going to be down here until Monday, and then I was going to fly home Monday back to Rochester, New York, and on Tuesday, my dad and I were going to travel to Helimasters in Venlo. And on Sunday, we were out of the field. I got a call from my dad. Hey, you need to leave right now. I messed up. Because my dad booked both flights, the Venlo flights as well as the Orlando flight. He booked them so that I would be arriving home from Orlando
after I remember.
I was supposed to go home. Yeah.
And you had to, like, all of a sudden out of nowhere, just hurry the hell up.
Yeah, we raced back to the house. You were talking to my dad, booking flights. I went up to your shop, took apart my helis in 10 minutes, threw them in the case, and raced to the airport. I went through. I'm like, I have a family emergency. I need to get home. Yeah. They put me through the fast lane of security, barely made the flight, got home, you know, changed the motor back to a Scorpion.
How's that a best memory? How's that one of the better memories?
Because
it was a terrible memory.
No, it was awesome because, we accomplished a lot practicing with you. Got a lot done. Figured out two routines, music and freestyle.
But it's terrible memories, terrible.
No, it was good because you helped me figure out how to practice set maneuvers because I was just kind of going through the motions, but you helped me break them down and figure them out. So it was just really, really, really good practice. That was one of the best memories I have in the hobby. Just funny. Just of all things to happen, that is the issue. The airline tickets, oh well. It was funny. It was good times.
Nice.
You?
Nice. Man, there's too many. I just can't really. I don't want to go into detail into any of them because there's just. It would be unfair. It's a lot. It's a lot. You know, I was thinking just now while you're talking about this, like memories, and I'm thinking about the trip to Italy last year.
Yeah.
That's a great memory. You know why? Because when I used to travel all the time, every week, every other week, every month, literally every weekend back to back for all summer, you kind of get numb to this shit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't care. You want home.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't do it for a long time and all of a sudden you do it, it's like, you know, especially going to Europe, right? I hadn't been to Europe for a year or a couple of years. And so a lot of people hadn't seen in a long time. And all of a sudden everybody was there. And it was such a great time just to see everybody, you know what I mean? Like people that I hadn't seen that sometimes you think you'll never see them again because I'm not active like you are in the hobby anymore. Like I'm more focused on the business side of it.
Right.
But so that was amazing. But there's just so many memories, though. One of my best memories is like my first big event was Las Vegas. My first event where I actually like flew to with an airplane was Las Vegas 06. Could have been 05, but I don't know. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Whatever it is, yeah.
And I went there with Earl and Craig. You know, we used to hang. We're good friends of mine. And we used to we flew out there and we were all flying for Miniature Aircraft at that time, and Eric Larson was there doing demos, and so was Matt Botos. He was flying for Miniature Aircraft too.
Wow.
And we bought these little piece of shit helicopters at the flying field. They had these things, some vendor there, I forgot who it was, at this little stupid thing that was the size of a Blade MCPX. Mm-hmm. But imagine a 2005 or 6 version of that. It was beyond unflyable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we all bought these stupid things, and we're staying at the Circus Hotel in the Las Vegas Strip. And we had a ball just flying these stupid helicopters in the hotel, and like we went to dinner with with Botos and Larson, and at the time we're starstruck. You know, they're like, you're good pilots. They've been in the hobby forever, right?
Right.
Kind of like you were starstruck with me, kind of thing, right? As according to you,
I still am.
Yeah, according to you, but no, but like that, the old school, like being a newbie and like not necessarily totally a newbie because I've been flying for a while, but more like that first event I flew to, and like it was just cool. It was just really cool.
Life shaping.
I have a lot of memories like that. I have the memory with like, you know, my Urcha days, my Align days at Urcha with the team there. I have really good memories of doing Smack Talk stuff with Bobby.
Yeah.
There's just so many memories. I have memories of like the first year with SAB at Urcha would have been 2012. Mm-hmm. And that's the year when Heli Drag Sam rented that Lamborghini. And I was driving that freaking thing around. And we had the models. Like, just a lot of cool, really super cool stuff back in the day, right?
Yeah.
The memories when I went, I met you at the in France for the French Cup. What was it called?
3D Cup.
3D Cup.
Yeah.
And I was doing demos for Spartan. Mm-hmm. And BK Servo, and we had a booth there in the corner with BK Servo and Spartan. Mm-hmm. And we had these models that were getting spray painted, like, next to us. You remember that?
That's crazy.
There's just so many memories like that. It's crazy, though.
So many.
Even outside of Heli's, RC in general, like, memories of you coming to our house, like, years ago and, like, getting hammered and flying FPV. You know, just it's just good old times. It's crazy. Man. Yeah.
One that really sticks out to me now that we're talking
many memories.
About it.
Too many memories.
I was on a TV show back in 2005, Masters of Champions, and I was on there for flying, and my whole
2005,
family.
2005.
Yeah,
2005.
2005.
You were...
I was...
Oh, my God.
10? I was 10. 10.
10.
10.
10. Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So I went out there with my whole family, and my mom, my dad, my brother. They paid for the whole trip. It was a TV show on ABC, I think. It aired until my episode. It got canceled right before my episode aired.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
So you actually went there and you did all the film, the taping
whole thing,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. We went through Universal Studios. We were allowed to vacation stuff. But man, some good times. The whole family was there. It's crazy. Crazy times. It's weird how much this hobby has really given us as far as memories go. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, if there's one thing that I would never ever take away, I would, if there's one thing that I would just, that you can never get, that I could never get doing anything else, is all the good memories that we've had. Yeah,
man,
all the traveling, just having the opportunities to travel the world and meet people of all kinds and make so many friends just by flying these things.
Crazy.
You know?
Crazy.
And some of the best friendships I've made in my life, like you, like your dad, like Gator, like some of the best friends I've ever had in my entire life, I met through helicopters.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Absolutely.
And if one of those people quit Heli's, we still would be friends forever. Like, it wouldn't affect, because we've gotten that close.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. Wow.
You know, we dwell on the negatives of the day-to-day grind, but, you know, we would not be where we are if it was not for this hobby.
Yeah, I agree.
It's crazy.
I agree.
Crazy stuff.
So it's a great episode. Good positive stuff.
Yeah.
I'm kind of almost like about to shed a tear. Good times.
Yeah,
good times.
Man. Good stuff.
So, anyway, if you have ideas, send them to us, because we're out.
Yes.
We're going to take a couple weeks off if we don't hear from you. Seriously.
Yeah. Our faithful listener, Eric Burcham, has been giving us a lot of good ideas, but he's given us some technical stuff and also non-technical stuff. So
I read some of his stuff. What is he suggesting?
I kind of stemmed off that for today. Eric wanted us to talk about, like, some goods and bads. He said that he wanted to share some bad stories of the hobby, because he went out to the field with his kids, got all the way to the field, and forgot his transmitter. share stories like that, and he gave us some technical stuff to talk about. So thank you, Eric, for your ideas. You always give us some good stuff, and we will.
The worst is that's not as bad as when you have to travel halfway around the world to Thailand and your helicopter does not make it. So you show up out there in the best case scenario with your transmitter, begging everybody to let you fly the shit.
Yeah, Tarek, can I fly your heli?
Yeah. Of course, 100%, my friend.
I love three, very nice.
Anyway, send us ideas. We will, we'll address. We can do something like that. We need a guest for that. We need a guest.
We should. I have a guest in mind. We got to hit him up for that. It's going to be a good one. Yeah.
And I have this great idea for an episode that I'm going to discuss with you after we go offline. And then we'll make a post, see what you guys think.
Nice.
I have a great idea for an episode. And then I have another idea for doing another live one.
Cool.
Where it's more like a Q&A.
Yeah, let's do it.
And now with the Kraken and, like, you know, things have changed. There's more stuff out on the market. Mm-hmm. There's V-Control Touch. There's all kinds of things. I think people could benefit from a Q&A with us.
Why not? Why not?
So, cool.
Cool. Well.
Alrighty.
That's been it.
So, if you want to get a hold of us,
yep.
Facebook.com, TheBKOfficial, or Instagram, TheBKOfficial. Mm-hmm. I can be reached at Facebook.com. I'm at BertRC, BERTRC, or Instagram is Bert_Kammerer.
You can find me at Facebook.com/KyleStaceyRC, or if you want to email me directly, it's KyleStaceyRC@gmail.com.
Nice.
Yep.
Good stuff. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yep. And maybe next week, maybe the one after.
We'll see you when we see you.
See ya.